Yay, so I'm very excited this today we have another guest called Violet, and here's another episode of the Becoming Cosmic for You podcast. So Violet, I understand that you are a cosmic matchmaker. So let us know a little bit more about that. I'd love to learn more about what you do.
Yes. So I find a lot of people are looking for love and get bogged down in the apps, the dating apps, or really focused on like, how do I meet my partner and the tactical part of dating, and they forget about the spiritual part of dating. And so it seems that our culture has maybe not shown the full light of what can happen when we connect to our spiritual essence and when we bring that into each of our chakras in terms of what we're looking for in a partner. And I also think in the spiritual community, there's a lot of talk about like twin flames and, burn through your karma. And there's also a paradigm that focuses almost away from the body and just on like finding this perfect match and then it igniting and everything being, beautiful. And both of those are true in some ways, but we need to have a really grounded and authentic approach where we're vulnerable with ourselves and our partner, and where we're taking responsibility for our patterns. I am an empath. I dated a lot of narcissists. The empath narcissist bond is like very common, and it gets labeled oftentimes as twin flames. But then I see a lot of women in particular, but men too, suffering because they're like, but this is my twin flame, so I just need to, stick through it, and at least I'm in on a new timeline. It's like, okay, well, that's great, but we also want to feel pleasure and feel connection and feel love and feel valued and respected and sovereign. So I met my husband in a dream. I had a dream about him 3 weeks before we met in real life at a meetup event on lucid dreaming. So we have this kind of cosmic love story. And it's beautiful. And I think I kind of knew that this love was possible, but I had to go through these different stages of like just focusing on the 3D and the apps, and then just focusing on like twin flame and burning through karma, and then now having a much more balanced approach. So this is what I teach my clients.
I love that. I love that you talked about twin flame as well, because I'm with you. Like, there's so much press that gets and so much attention around this twin flame bond, but we really do deserve love that's available to us, and the twin flame dynamic doesn't give any space for that. It rewards people for being in toxic relationships.
Totally.
Interesting. It's such a negative narrative, but also the other end of the spectrum as well, saying that relationships are all going to be love and rainbows and flowers and all that kind of stuff. So I love that you're basically giving people the true story, shall we say.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I'll just share one other thing, which is that one of the energetics that I think of is people either are dating from like the root chakra up, like, okay, I need my needs for safety met. I need to heal my childhood trauma, which we do need to heal our childhood trauma. But, or they're dating from like the first and second chakra, like, ooh, let me find someone I love having sex with. It's just from, and then they're trying to get to their vision, but there's a lot of work to do, right? If we start just from that place. Or people are starting like just from their crown and their third eye, and then they're just like, oh, but I feel this is my twin flame, so I'm just gonna like hang out here, and then they're not embodied. And so we kind of need to parallel path like the ascending current, the descending current. But usually it's we start with the descending current from the crown down, and that way we know we're aligned with the vision and we're aligned with our purpose. Like, I believe our love relationship has a purpose greater than just love. It's healing the humanity. It's healing our family line. And anyway, so I just want to share that for people who are watching, that start with the descending current, but make sure you go all the way down. Don't just stay in the third eye.
That's so important. I think like combining the 3D and the cosmic is really important anyway, because I think a lot of people do one or the other and don't combine the two, and you've got to just say that you're in a 3D body, right? And we have this 3D experience and we get to enjoy it, but we need to accept that, we aren't human, but we are having a human experience. And I think a lot of people forget that, right?
Yes, totally.
So, what are the kind of things that Is it mainly women that you work with, or who do you usually work with?
I usually work with women. I have a few male clients. They tend to find me through my husband also does similar work. So he works with men, I work with women. Sometimes we work with couples together. And then sometimes he will be working with a man who's done a lot of work on his masculine, but needs a little support with developing and balancing his feminine. And so then that man will work with me. Some of my clients will do sessions with him, but we tend to just work with our same sex. It's just how it's aligned. Yeah.
I love that. So what are the kind of like issues or problems that you see women having? Are you helping people like get back into dating or accepting that their partner is the one, but they're looking at it the wrong way? Or what kind of things are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I see a few different types of patterns, one of which is feeling at the victim of our patterns of attraction, like feeling like, well, I just am attracted to this sort of person and I can't help it. And I call that our dating catnip. Like we have this catnip that usually represents our unmet needs from our parents, and then we are projecting that onto our dating experience. And it doesn't mean that we are going to find someone who's the complete opposite of our parents, because we're not trying to have the pendulum swing, completely to the other direction. But we can totally change our patterns of attraction without giving up the physical chemistry. We don't have to either have someone safe but boring, or someone like really sexy but dangerous. We can find that middle ground. And a lot of that has to do with working with the third chakra and the first chakra and getting really clear on who we are and not staying trapped in those old patterns from the past and expecting like someone to build our identity for us based on how we're dating and how we're matching. So that's the first one, is changing our patterns of attraction, taking responsibility for that, knowing that you can absolutely have everything you want, but it might not be what you're used to, like super, super familiar with. So then there is that time of just recalibration, like, oh, I can feel good without feeling anxious all the time when I'm dating, and I can have sexual experiences with someone and still have my boundaries and still feel sovereign within myself. The second thing that I notice is when people are in relationship, sometimes we have these escalating expectations. We're like, oh, okay, well, now that we're boyfriend, girlfriend, or now that we live together, or now that we have children, like you should be doing these 25 extra things. And we sometimes then lose the compassion, we lose the heart, right? We forget like that this person is also this unique being that we're here to adore and cherish, and vice versa. So that's an important one for people in relationship. And sometimes I know from experience, it takes a lot of humility to like recognize the ways that we are withholding love or expecting things from our partner that are I don't want to say selfish, because that's not really the right word, but sometimes we're expecting things that are actually easier to create when we've done our own inner work versus asking a partner to like change to meet some expectation that we have. And then other things that come up, which are maybe sensitive to talk about, but I think are important to name, is sometimes we have sexual trauma that we haven't looked at. Sometimes we have, things from our early childhood developmentally and our relationship with our parents that are still bubbling up, that are still causing things. I had experienced sexual trauma as a child, and then that was definitely affecting how I was dating and who I was picking for a partner, but I hadn't really looked at it in a deep way. So I use things with my clients like yoni eggs, which are these crystals that you put in your yoni, which sounds really crazy and out there, but it's an amazing embodiment tool because it does a lot of the deep healing work on a tissue and cellular basis that then can be a nice parallel to some of the energetic healing that's happening. And there's like all different types of crystals you can use in that way for all different types of purposes, with breath work and just different techniques, mainly to build awareness and to build connection. Because a lot of people that I work with who've had adverse childhood experiences, they don't feel all the way through, right? Like they might not be actually noticing when something is painful or noticing when something is constricted. So yeah, those are just a few things.
Yeah, I think that's really important because I think a lot of humans aren't necessarily feeling their bodies all the way through. And I see that a lot in our work that we teach how to use your body as the tool for getting your yes and no answers, right? It's so powerful. But I think when you've been through childhood trauma, especially, or sexual abuse, or mistrust of humans, other humans, really feeling your own body is a really big hurdle in itself, right? And then you're putting that expectation on that other person in a relationship to fulfill those childhood needs.
Yeah, exactly. I completely agree. And you know, honestly, it's a journey. Like, I'm still working on continuing to be embodied. It's kind of like you can never go high enough out and infinite out. It's always expanding. It's same within, I feel like, you know, there's always more layers and the Nautilus kind of spiraling in. So it's exciting. It can feel overwhelming, you know, if someone's listening and they're like, wow, like that's, you know, seems like a lot. Like, it's not a lot once you just get started. It's just about staying committed to the path.
Yeah, I agree. I always say that, we are limitless beings, so we are limitless in our expansion, as with the work as well, and the work doesn't have to be hard or laborious, but you need to do something, right? Even if something is nothing, even if something is just surrendering. And sometimes I think humans find that the hardest of all, just to do nothing and allow.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely work with a lot of like type A personality and overachievers and teaching and learning that art of feminine surrender and trust and kind of tending your own garden, like the simple little rituals and stuff. It's sometimes hard to do because it doesn't feel as like sexy or as exciting as these huge, huge big experiences or like tackling something. But I think also that's part of that shift from moving from the individual to the collective and to the transpersonal is that then we're letting a higher power come in and help us to sort things out.
I love that. And how can people kind of work with you? What does that look like when people work with you?
Yeah, so I have a few different ways of working with me. The course that I'm starting in May of this year is called Sacred Sensuality, and it's about healing through trauma, finding our connection to our sovereign sexuality by working with pleasure through each of the chakras and like the yoni eggs that I mentioned. So that's good for whether you're in a relationship or not in a relationship, but it's tailored towards women. It is a women-only program. And then I do some one-on-one coaching, like bespoke coaching. And then I have a program called Queens of Pleasure, and it's all about finding our sovereignty in dating. And going through that journey, like I said, of the descending current and the ascending current as we're looking for a love relationship. So that helps women who are single to find what I call one of their soulmates. You know, we were talking about twin flames earlier. I feel like we have a number of soulmates that we could connect with, and it's really about our empowered choice in this lifetime of who we want to build a life with, how our love wants to influence humanity. If we want to have children, you know, all of those things. So there's no scarcity of love, but we do have to do some of that work and that exploration in order to transcend twin flames and move into soulmate and then have that empowered choice. So that's what that program is about.
Yeah, I believe that as well, that there are different people that will come into your life at different times, and it doesn't have to be I'm searching for one person. I mean, that just seems like a lot of responsibility, and that narrative like really like grates on me sometimes. I'm like, no, you're just chasing someone who is unavailable. Like, why would you do that?
Totally. And I feel that women get taught there's just one, you know, wait for your Prince Charming. But men actually get taught the opposite narrative, like, oh, take your time. There's plenty of fish in the sea. Like, and neither, you know, neither is actually serving them because then men sometimes aren't inspired to commit in ways that would deeply honor and serve them and the love that they want to create. But it's interesting to unpack those things, like you said, and really look at what we truly want and then make choices that support that. Yeah.
And what would you say were like the key aspects really of someone who's looking to get back into dating or find love? Like, what would you say was like the number three things that people should be doing?
That's a great question. I think the first one is to get embodied, to be connected to your physical body, including your sensual energy, including your body cues, like you were talking about. You know, when do you shut down out of fear in the dating process, and how do you notice that in your body? when are you overly vulnerable because you feel ashamed about something, so you're sharing too much, you know, like finding that balance with communication and with your connection to your body. I think the second thing is to change your patterns of attraction, be aware of what your catnip is and then change it. And then I would say that the third one is, especially for women, but for all beings, is to learn how to be with your feminine energy, learn how to flow feminine energy and be able to bring that at choice. You know, we don't have to always be in our fully feminine. That's not realistic, but most women I work with have either never felt safe being in their feminine because they were rewarded for being an achiever or being in their masculine, or they always felt that the feminine was weak somehow, or they were taken advantage of when they were in their feminine. So, yeah, I would say embodiment and how that shows up with how you communicate, changing your patterns of attraction, number two. And then number three would be learning how to harness the power of your feminine energy.
I love that. Thank you. And so do you work with cosmic beings as well above the third dimension, or how do you work, or how do you see beings above the third dimension? Do you see them as separate to you, or?
Yeah, I think it depends on the person that I'm working with. You know, for me, I have my cosmic support team, my multidimensional support team of unconditional love and light, as I call them. And because I'm a Reiki master and I work a lot on the 12th dimension. To me, that's where a lot of like love and gold and pink energy and kind of feminine creative support is. So I will bring that through for my clients and I will teach them how to access that. I have different meditations and practices where sometimes with the yoni egg, sometimes without the yoni egg, you know, you're going into a higher dimension in order to find what sort of soulmate connections are there for you, and then bringing that energy back into your body. But I have some clients who, you know, for me, for instance, I can connect with archangels and ascended masters, and it feels like super aligned and supportive. Some of my clients prefer working with the elementals, you know, they're like really into the elemental energy. So, everyone has a support team that I call on and have help them to access, but they don't always look the same.
Yeah, I understand that. I think we all see things completely differently, and I'm the same as you. I have my cosmic team who I call Cosmic HQ, but I just see them as like different aspects of myself that I can tap into.
Yeah.
I appreciate we all see things a bit differently. So what's the best way of people like stalking your energy, Violet, and getting to know you?
Yeah, they can find me at violetlang.com. My website is not like the most updated. So the easiest thing to do is to just email me at violet@violetlang.com. And then we can have a quick connection. We can get on a call for 15 minutes. I can, you know, see what it is that would best support you, if anything. And then we can customize any sort of work we would do together. My sacred sensuality course is violetlang.com/sacred-sensuality, and I can send you all those links.
Yeah, we'll make sure that all the links get put in the podcast and on YouTube or whatnot so people can find you easily. And what kind of messages are coming through right now about love and available love from your team and your guides?
I've been hearing and sensing that we're in a really big shift where we don't have to be replaying old lineage stories, that we're really shifting how we relate to our ancestry and to how relationship has been done in the past. And this means for some people that it will continue to look like, you know, someone you're with for your entire life and a very traditional family structure. For other people, this may look like, for instance, I have some clients in their 50s who are now dating people in their 20s. And before that would be like, oh my God, I can't do that, you know, but there's so much love and connection there, especially because sometimes the younger beings are bringing in different frequencies. So there's more cross-generational dating that I'm seeing, and in healthy ways, not misogynistic ways. And there's also a lot of, cutting isn't the right word, but there's a lot of standing in our power, that we're not going to reenact old patterns from our family or from our lineage. And I'm finding that a lot of my clients are not only healing the previous generation, like their mother, father wounds, but it's actually going back 4 or 5 generations, and it's happening really quickly. So I believe, you know, we're living in this time where there's never been more access to these spiritual tools, everything from embodiment to, ascension process and all of that. And so there's a quickening that's happening, but we have to be really aware and we have to be empowered with how we're using those tools and not get lost in the cultural narrative or the family narrative. And there's also more flow. I'm finding that people for instance, I have a client who was dating someone for 2 years. It never felt exactly right. She was like, should I break up with him? Should I not? It kept being pretty clear, like, you could keep growing with this person, but why focus just on like painful growth when you could be feeling something better? So she broke up with him, and within 3 weeks, she had met a partner who was completely more aligned on every level. And so she didn't have to like wait and suffer and hope. Like, things are coming in really, really fast, but we have to be ready to ride that wave, and we have to have some skills to know how to surf.
Yeah, my team would just say making that decision as well, right? Most of us know exactly what decisions we need to make, but oftentimes we stick with something out of a sense of loyalty or service, or because we spent a lot of time doing it. And I see that a lot with people in relationships or friendships or business deals, and just think, well, if it's not serving you, you already know that. You already can feel that. And I think it's about decision. I think this year people are going to have to start making big decisions.
Yes,
As soon
definitely.
as you do, like you say, something will be lined up. The universe always gives us like the bare minimum of what we ask for. And then our decision making process is just to discern, right? Yes or no. And then, well, as soon as we say no, they're like, okay, here's the next thing. We've got to be courageous enough to make those decisions. So it's going to be an interesting year for sure. I can definitely feel that quickening process. Like, things, if anything, my message at the moment to people is just to surrender, because in the quickening process, right, a lot of people can panic and think, oh my God, everything's happening so quick, I'm going to go faster. I'm like, no, that's going to lead to burnout. You need to slow down in
Yeah.
quickening.
I totally feel that because everything is already lined up. There's like a flow of it coming in. But sometimes when we add too much energy to it, then it can create like a frenzy or some resistance or, yeah.
One of the things I loved about your bio, actually, Violet, when I read your application, is that you've recently downsize your business to focus on your family and your daughter. And I just love that because, it's sometimes you see in our industry, women especially sacrificing their family and their time to build their business. And, that for me has never felt like a priority of mine. I'm like you, I work half the week. So half the week I'm with my kids and half the week I'm working. And I don't know how we fit it all in sometimes, because it almost seems impossible to be a mom and do these things, but we just do, right? And I just love the way that you have pivoted to do that. And I think that's just a beautiful example of nurture. My team just wanted to say that to you.
Oh, thank you. That's very sweet. Yeah, I think there were some ego deaths along the way of not being so identified with my work, but I've always believed like time expands for those who need it. And so when we're in alignment, then there is enough time and there is enough flow. And very similar to you, I work like maybe 15 hours a week. Like I just work a little bit every day when my daughter is at preschool. And like the right clients find me, and I have time to do a few programs now and then, like my sacred sensuality thing. Or I forgot to mention there's another program I do called Rose Code, which is all about the feminine, and it stands for radiant, open, sensual, embodied, like the word rose. And anyway, thank you for pointing that out because I do think there is this pressure with online businesses and virtual offerings to like grow, 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 post on Instagram 8 times a day. And it's just like, no. That's too much.
Yeah, and it's building a business with the illusion as well, the 3D illusion. And I think people should be more transparent in how they're building business. That the most successful and business coaches are the ones with the biggest teams, or the ones with the biggest ad budgets, and yet most of the time their branding is all about them. But what people don't realize is they've got a whole team behind them, doing all the things for them. They're not just a streamlined business. So I love how you've pivoted with your business. It's such a beautiful, it's a beautiful reminder of us having to go first, right, to create this new these new pathways, these new pillars, and saying, this is how the new earth is going to be. It's not going to be built on hustle and haste and rushing and masculine energy and all that bullshit that we've seen before. It's based on doing things in flow, complete flow with surrender. So I love that you're already leading the way with that. So thank you for that.
Thank you so much, Liv.
You're welcome. Are there any other messages that you want to share before we say goodbye to people?
Let me feel into it for a second. I think it's just know that anything is possible, no matter what your history with a loving relationship has been. Anything is possible. Big shifts can happen. You're not broken by any means. And whether you're 26 or 86, like you still have so much love to give and receive. And the world needs your loving heart and your loving body and your open mind.
I love that. Thank you so much, Violet. Thank you for your work here. And I'm going to thank our readers and our listeners, and then we'll have a chat for 5 minutes if you're free.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Beautiful.